All right. I think I'm good now. So, and as Don said, you can go to YouTube, and it's on YouTube. You type in my name, which is on your handout today, or we'll put it on the Facebook page. If your kids do watch it and like it, tell me, and that will help encourage me to make another one. So I don't know if you saw at the end, it said that there's also a little book coming out. John and I have been trying to write a children's book, and that is moving forward. We're super excited about it. It is called The Godly Princess. It's a book on character for little girls, and each character quality has a couple of lessons with some questions, and then each character quality also has a story about a little princess, sometimes with magical powers, who learns a lesson about that character quality. So we want it to be a book that your little girls would pull off the shelf and bring it to you and say, please, Mommy, this one, read me this one, just one that they would really enjoy. So we could really use your help, your support. We have no idea what we're doing, but we almost have two chapters ready to start trying to shop around to a publisher. I don't really know how to do that. I was reading How to Get a Book Published for Dummies this summer, literally. So any prayers, helps you guys have, it's a group effort. We would love that. So I love books. My kids love books. We hope this would be a great book for your little girls. And who knows, if it goes well, maybe they'll be the godly superhero in a couple of years coming out for the little men. So one of my all-time favorite books is a missionary biography on William Carey. He was a missionary to India in the 1700s, and he said this quote. I love this quote. He says, "I am not afraid of failure. I am afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter." So he was an uneducated, poor man. He went to India in the 1700s. He has so many amazing stories. His wife literally tried to kill him in the middle of the night with a knife. She was suffering from dementia because she got a fever when they moved to India, but it really happened. But by the end of his life, he translated the entire Bible into 6 languages. He translated portions of the Bible into 29 other languages. And his stories inspire me to give my life for ministry and to live for the things that are most important. So I love what he said. I am not afraid of failure. I am afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. So that was the 1700s. And he was afraid then that he would be distracted by the unimportant. I think that was before TV. That was before shopping, before social media. Today there's even more things that can distract us. There are a lot of things that I can succeed at, but there are very few things that actually matter. So I wondered, am I busy? Are you busy with toddler baseball and gymnastics and decorating and playgroups? And are you succeeding at things that have very little eternal benefit? Because what does it matter if your house is featured on Pinterest, but you don't cultivate your relationship with God by daily reading your Bible? Or as Jesus said, what does it matter if you gain the whole world, but lose your soul? Mark 8:36. So in our season of life, it's like you're hosting a party. And the temptation right now is to have elaborate decorations. You have these handmade pinwheels that are lovely. Chalkboard signs are everywhere. Drinking out of mason jars with stripy straws, that's a must. So, and as much burlap and lace, drape that over everything. The more burlap you have, the better the party. So if you have time for these decorations without neglecting your priorities, go for it. They're beautiful. But if you invest time in beautiful details while you ignore your children and neglect their discipline, then there is a problem, and it's a problem of priorities. So if you are having a baby shower, it's okay to have a simple shower with Dixie plates and Costco dessert, because what does it matter if you have the perfect party but neglect shepherding the heart? So if you learn one thing today, it will be to never let me throw your shower, because all you're getting is Dixie plates and Costco dessert. It's kind of true. But we need to live with purpose. So today I want to talk about what does it look like for a mom to live with purpose. So let's start with God's clear words in Scripture. Number one on your outline, what are God's priorities for all believers? For all believers. Sometimes we think God's word is such a mystery. What is God's will for my life? But really, God's word is really clear. And Jesus describes general priorities he has for all believers. In Mark 22, starting in 27, Jesus is asked about the greatest commandment. Out of everything you are to do, out of everything you are to love, what is the most important? And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself." And these verses, we know these verses, but they speak about our priorities and they should impact our to-do lists. You are to love God and you're to love people. Notice our priorities are not doing things for God and doing things for me. The priorities are doing things for God and doing things for others. But these things should be visible in your life. As you consider what takes up your time, you should ask, does doing this help me love God? Does doing this demonstrate a love for other people? Remember the godly woman named Dorcas in Acts 9, 9:36 says, "Now in Joppa, there is a disciple named Tabitha," which is a little better, I think, but translated in Greek, she's Dorcas. "And this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did." Oh, I wish I was like her, because I don't think I am. She brought glory to God by loving people, and she was held up as an example of someone who chose good priorities. She chose others. And she makes me ask, do I do good to everyone? Is my life about loving God and loving others, or am I the star of my own show sometimes? God says it's best for me to love him and love others. In fact, God even says he has specific good works that he has prepared for me to do. That's Ephesians 2:10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." You are created for good works. And the crazy thing is that God prepared them in advance for you. He has a to-do list just for you. And he gave you the spiritual gifts and the talents and the resources to do everything he wants you to. He has a purpose for you and good works prepared for you. We see an example of that in David. In Acts 13:36, it says, "For David, after he served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep and was laid among his fathers." It says David served the purpose of God. There were specific things God wanted David to do. And isn't it a comfort? Think about David. David was not perfect. And he spent a lot of time doing things that he should not have been doing. But despite his sin, he was a man after God's own heart, and he chose overall to live according to God's priorities, and he fulfilled that purpose that God had for him. So let's fulfill the purpose God has for us. To do that, you do need to consider how God would have you use your time. How has he built you? What are the good works he's prepared for you? Is your to-do list filled with God's good works? So next, let's consider number two, what are God's priorities for you? For you. How do you determine your top priorities? When you're deciding what to do for the day or when you're looking at your calendar, how do you decide what to put on it? God has priorities for you depending on where he's placed you in life and what relationships he's blessed you with. There's a sense in which you have different roles, like being a wife or being a mom is like fulfilling a role. So for each role that he has given you, he has priorities and responsibilities that go with that role. And knowing what roles God has placed you in can help you stay focused on the good works that he wants you to walk in. So what about your roles? Have you ever stopped to think about what roles God has given you? So let's try letter A. Let's define your current God-given roles. Define your current God-given roles. Do a survey of your life. Just mentally. Try to look at an overview of it, that bird's eye view. It's easy to get all caught up in the details. But ask yourself, what has God made me personally responsible for? What are my areas of responsibility? Well, if you're saved, you're a child of God. Since you're moms by grace, I'll assume that you're a wife and you're a mom. You have a household that you have to take care of, you're responsible for. You're a member of a church body. You're a daughter, you're a daughter-in-law. You might have responsibilities with your extended family. Maybe you have a job. You have responsibilities there. So to consider all the roles you currently fulfill, I want you to also think about what takes up large portions of your time. And I want you to write these down, too, as possible roles. Like if you have one of those beautiful Instagram feeds where everything matches stylistically, that's a big time investment. And you're fulfilling a role, write it down, you're an Instagrammer. So do you spend hours researching things on computers? You're a researcher. Do you spend lots of time on healthy recipes or long workouts? If something takes regular time, then write it down as a role that you are currently trying to fulfill. Later you can evaluate and decide if you want to fulfill that role. And there may be some roles you need to let go of for a time and while you focus on God's most important roles. And everyone's list of roles will be a little bit different, but this will give you a framework to begin thinking about your priorities. So go ahead and pull out that blue chart. You should also have a blue and brown chart at your table. Let's take a look at it. Down the blue column, you'll write in your roles. It's probably the roles I've just listed, maybe plus one or two extras. And I'm also going to challenge you, as you write them in, to put them in order of importance. So while they're all important, some roles have precedence over others, and ordering your roles will help you later as you try to evaluate your priorities. So take a minute right now, grab your pen. I'm going to give you a minute to try to write in your roles. Okay, you can take more time later. I'm going to give you a list that might be exactly what you wrote down, might be a little bit different. Jot it on the side. Child of God, wife, mom, member of church or servant of the body of Christ, something like that, and then hobby job at the bottom. Let me point out a couple things in how I've ordered these roles. My personal relationship with Christ is the most important. It's the first commandment. There's not a lot of wiggle room there. Being a wife and a mom, they're both important, but I have taken a vow to be John's wife, and I will keep being his wife after my children have left the home. Right? They're shot like arrows, Psalm 127, or you leave and cleave, that's Genesis 2:24. So it's tempting in this short season with needy little ones to prioritize your kids over your husband, but that's really not wise. So be careful to prioritize your relationship with your husband. I've also found it mentally helpful to separate out being a mom from being a household manager. And that's because I want to hold myself accountable to regularly looking after my children's hearts, as well as looking after their bodies and our house. I've listed managing the household above being a servant at church. Now, these things kind of go together because we are all necessary in service to build up the church. That's 1 Corinthians 12:12 and following. But we are to manage our households well to qualify for leadership service. And that's seen in Titus 2:4 and 1 Timothy 3:4. In fact, let me read you 1 Timothy 3:4. It says this of an elder. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man doesn't know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? So if you are someone who does not serve at church, find a way to serve. The body of Christ needs you. If you are someone who is busy with service, but you do a mad dash to tidy your house whenever anybody's coming over, then you need to shift some priority back to managing your household. Most of the time, though, it's not the extra ministry that keeps us so busy, but it's those hobbies, those things that are at the bottom of the list. And when that last place item is let go, then your life opens up for both ministry and home with a joyful heart. So anything extra that you do, being a fitness guru, making jewelry, Snapchatting, playing Pokemon, that all comes at the end of the list. So in God's economy, these are the things that are done after the real priorities are taken care of. And honestly, this is where my little Godly Princess book falls on my list. It is at the bottom of my list. If I am not spending time in the Word, supporting my husband, training my kids, maintaining a moderately orderly household, and serving in some way at church, if I am struggling in one of these areas, then I need to take a break from writing and use that time to strengthen where I am weak. So you guys can hold me accountable to this. If you see me lacking in some of these areas, you come and talk to me before I'm trying to push a book out there. So we have a list of roles, and it's helpful for you to personally wrestle with the order of your roles. Talk with your husband, talk with your mentor mom or community group leader about it. But writing out your roles helps give you a big picture of your life. What are you to be about? The purpose of those roles is to help you prioritize and plan. Because if you fail to attack your week with biblical planning, your week attacks you with all kinds of little things. So, and you end up devoting more time to all those little things than to what is actually important. So roles are a guard, and they keep you devoted to doing those most important things. But in order for these roles to really change what you do, you need to fill this out with a little bit more detail. For each of your roles, examine how can you best bring glory to God. What are your responsibilities for each of those roles? Biblically, what do you need to be doing to fulfill those? So letter B, determine biblically informed responsibilities and goals. Determine biblically informed responsibilities and goals. Once you have a list of roles, spend a little time brainstorming on your responsibilities. And for each role, write down what you need to do. How can you tell if you're growing as a Christian? What needs to be on your agenda if you want to be a godly wife? And we'll never do these perfectly, but we want to do them purposefully. So since all believers have the role of being a child of God, let's think about some of the responsibilities that go with that role. There are some very clear commands in Scripture about your personal life with God. You're to read the Bible regularly. That's Psalm 1:2. You're to pray often, 1 Thess 5:16. You're to have a sweet dependence on God and cast your cares upon him. That's 1 Peter 5:7. You are to be in regular fellowship at a church, Hebrews 10:25. You're to be diligent about watching over your heart, Proverbs 4:23. So there are some to-dos, like read your Bible and pray and attend church. But you're also to have a soft heart of dependence on the Lord. And it is this soft heart of dependence that keeps your relationship with God from being a checklist. So within those responsibilities of being God's child, you might prayerfully consider one or two goals, which is just an area you want to focus on for growth. And this will be different for everybody. It could be growing in humility or transparency or really establishing that solid Bible time every day, or seeking out the input of an older godly woman in your life. So you could have many different goals. So we have responsibility, or we have roles, we have responsibilities, we'll have just a few goals. And thinking through these things in advance help you not get distracted when those little things come up. You want to be purposeful and live according to priorities. Since this is Moms by Grace, let's also think about some responsibilities as a mom, especially when you have little ones. Now, I've separated out being a mom from being a household manager. So on my goals, or on my responsibilities of being a mom, I've listed things like this. I want to teach my kids to obey authority, like they obey right away, all the way, and with a happy heart. So I want to pray with them at non-meal times. I want to read the Bible to them and in front of them. I want to ask them why questions and how do you feel questions to get them in the habit of being open with me. I want to hug them regularly. I want to have my kids do a chore every day, teaching diligence and hard work. And I want to praise them and reward them when I see good character. So these are things that are on my list that I want to do regularly. So these are priorities, and I do try to decline other things if I find that I'm neglecting these responsibilities. So, and your current responsibilities might be different depending on the ages of your kids. And then also within your responsibilities of being a mom, you'll choose one or two goals, just one or two. More than that, and it's hard to apply. There's always a million things I want to do, but you just pick the what is most important out of what I want to grow in. So hopefully this has given you some ideas for your responsibilities list. This week, take time to write out your responsibilities as a child of God and a mom and a wife and a household manager, a servant at church, maybe, and then whatever your other roles are, your job, being a good friend, whatever is on your role sheet. Do you have to fill out a responsibility and role sheet to be a Christian? No, of course not. It's simply a tool. It's one way you can grow to be purposeful in your priorities. But you are called to live for God's glory. And God does have a purpose for you, and he does have good works for you to walk in. So whether by roles and responsibilities or some other way that you think about priorities, you are to devote your time to things that really matter. So carefully consider your roles and responsibilities. Review them with your husband or with your group leader. Ask for their honest input. How are you doing at fulfilling these roles? Are there things that you are doing that distract you from these priorities? And have that soft heart. Be willing to make adjustments based on their input. So one area that I've seen women struggle in just recently is that current trend to research health foods. There's so many healthy eating ideas out there. And I'm all for eating healthy and giving your body what it needs. And I do try new health foods sometimes. But there's so much research you can do and so much reading. Trying a new recipe and then adjusting that recipe to actually try to make it taste good. So the time and the money invested into whole foods and farm-to-table and gluten-free and antioxidants and organic and all the other ones that I don't even know about, these things are time-consuming and they're expensive. So the benefit to your family might not be worth the time and money you're investing into it. There just may be other investments or time investments, financial investments that might bring greater benefit to your family. So just consider how much time you're investing into what I like to call the tasteless trifecta. That's quinoa, kale, and cauliflower, the tasteless trifecta. There's only so much you can do to make those edible, and you can still be godly if you don't eat them. It's okay to feed your kid a Twinkie. You'll just preserve their body into eternity. So if I've hit a sore spot with you on the food, just consider how much time and whether or not it matches the priority it should have in your life. Let your husband have input into your roles and responsibilities. Let godly women have input. Truly consider their counsel with a soft heart. And once you have your list of roles and responsibilities, the work and benefit has really just begun. Right? Folding it in half and slipping it in your Bible, it won't do you any good. But when you review your roles and responsibilities regularly, they become a guard and they become a filter. And they guard you from doing things that would sidetrack you. And they're a filter because they provide a helpful biblical grid for everyday decision making. But in order to use them, you have to review them regularly. You need to somehow integrate them into your decision making process. So letter C, review your roles and goals as part of daily life. Review your roles and goals as part of daily life. Use your phone reminders. Have the whole thing pop up. Type it in. Use your Google Calendar. Hang your sheet by your mirror. I'm kind of a nerd, so I use that Apple Things app to organize my whole life. There's a ton of resources out there. Pick something that works for you. You'll want to briefly review your roles and responsibilities fairly often. I have a reminder pop up Sunday afternoons, and it helps me get ready for the coming week. It just has this list of things I want to do, and one of those is review my calendar and figure out what I'm going to do to fulfill each role. And I write down things that I am going to do for each role to fulfill it in a godly way. And you have to think really practically about how you can live out these priorities. Make a to-do list. Very specific about how you'll live it out. Something C.J. Mahaney said is very helpful to me on this. He said, for each role, think about how you can serve and how you can surprise. Serve and surprise. So we serve, that's fulfilling commitments. And so as you think about how can I fulfill this role, you're thinking, how can I intentionally serve the people around me? My husband and kids, my small group leader, the ladies in my group. There are practical tasks that I've committed to, and that's fulfilling my responsibilities. But for a couple roles, you can take it a step further. How can you pleasantly surprise someone? In Romans 12:10, Paul exhorts us to outdo one another in showing honor. So is there a way this week you can go above and beyond to show honor? Can you do one of your husband's chores that you know he doesn't like just to bless him? Can you check the calendar, see if a friend's birthday is coming up, and write her a card? Can you send an encouraging text to a friend praising them? Uh-oh, my time's up. Or it's 10 o'clock. I'll just keep going. So can you send an encouraging text to a friend praising them for something they excel at? If that's going to go 10 times. Okay. Well, I look at my roles and responsibilities at the beginning of every week. That's personal preference. I make sure I'm aware of what I need to do to fulfill my roles that week. This time of evaluation lets me know how much flexible time I have too. If the week is heavier with responsibilities, I'll know I'm going to have to turn down those discretionary last-minute things that come up, whereas other weeks are more flexible. So I know that I can have a friend come hang out, or I can try that Pinterest idea. That week it works. But reviewing my God-given roles helps me remember to do the most important priorities first. So I look at my roles weekly. I also glance at my responsibilities each morning. I just want to be reminded of my most important things for the day. Remind yourself, what am I going to do to love God, shepherd your child's heart, love your husband, run your household? If you're a list person, write a list to keep you on track. So usually lists have chores and errands, but it's okay for your chore to have intangible things on it. Your list might be tell my husband something I love about him, praise my 8-year-old for something, and spend 5 minutes making my 2-year-old practice coming to me when I ask. That's a great list that could reflect your true priorities. I'm not trying to make you busier, because getting more things done doesn't mean you're getting the right things done. Each day, last-minute requests will come up, and they compete for your attention, for what's really important. Urgent things distract you from your real priorities. Kevin DeYoung says, the greatest danger with busyness is that there may be greater dangers you never have time to consider. You don't want to be busy with little things so that you don't stop and consider your real priorities. So take time weekly, pause daily, consider what priorities you are devoted to. Knowing your priorities will help you make wise decisions. You'll choose to invest in relationships. You'll be prompted to train your children's hearts. You'll want to invest in those eternal things. But even once you think about your roles and responsibilities and you try to transfer those into your daily life, you will face challenges. It is a challenge to live according to our priorities. So number 3, let's talk about how can we live according to your priorities? How can you live according to your priorities? Because even when you strive to be purposeful, it's so easy to find yourself off track. Have you ever been so busy that the joy in life just seems to fade? You find your mind racing by the time you hit the shower, or you haven't even unloaded the car from yesterday's activities, and here we go again. So on those days, you know you're doing way too much, but you don't want to give anything up, because everything you're doing is good. Have you been there? I've been there. How do you live according to what is best rather than what is good? How do you live by God's priorities and not by others' expectations? Your priorities with these roles and responsibilities, they are a filter to narrow down to the best choices. It's not necessarily the right and wrong principle. It's that good, better, best principle. And as you focus on God's priorities for you, you'll find that they are a filter. So letter A, use your priorities as a filter. As a filter. When you are trying to decide whether or not to take an opportunity, stop and do a little unhurried evaluation. If someone's asking you to do something, tell them you'll get back to them. So first, decide where does this opportunity fall on your order of priorities? You put them in order. Is it something that will help you grow in your relationship with God? Does it help you as a mom? Is it related to your hobby? Find out where it ranks. Is it something super important and it's worth sacrificing for? Or is it simply a nice thing to do? Evaluate it. If it's a ministry opportunity, is it in an area that you're gifted in or think you might be gifted in? So look at where the opportunity falls on your order of importance. And then do a quick evaluation of the things in your life that are more important than that opportunity. Are you doing those more important things? We'll never do them perfectly, but are you basically on track? Are you spending time with the Lord? Is your relationship with your husband solid? Are you conscious of your child's character strengths and weaknesses at that point? Are you serving the Lord in some way? Is your house mostly in order? If there's important areas where you are lacking, you should say no to the opportunity. And you should invest that time into the more important priority that's weak. Most likely, the opportunity will come around again, and maybe at that point, you will be ready to take it on. So notice how the priorities do become a filter. It becomes really clear to say no to the less important thing, to invest that time into the more important thing. And this filter helps us with everything from leadership opportunities to bake sales. Are you taking care of your most important priorities? If you are, there's room to say yes to that opportunity. And if you're not, praise the Lord for the priority check so that you could make some adjustments. If this purposeful priority stuff seems just a little over the top to you, and if you think I'm taking roles and responsibilities just a bit too far, then let's remember the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. That's the parable where the master has the three slaves, and the master's leaving, so he gave each slave some money to manage while he was gone, and he gave one slave 10 talents, one slave 5 talents, and the third he gave 1 talent. And while the master was away, the slave who had 10 talents invested it, and he got 10 more. The slave with 5 invested his, he got 5 more. But the slave with 1 talent buried his money in a hole to hide it, so no investing. When the master returned, he wanted an accounting of their management. And he rewarded the slaves that had purposefully invested. In Matthew 25:23, the master says, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." But the servant who had done nothing with the resources he was entrusted with, he was called wicked and lazy. It's a little harsh. And he was cast out of the master's house. So there are many applications of this parable. Among them, you can say that you are each blessed with resources from the Lord. You were given these to invest. Your spiritual gifts, your talents, your economics, your education, these are all gifts from the Lord. And you have a job to invest these things. And God expects you to purposefully invest these resources into eternal things, and you will report to God on how you have invested. This parable also clears up another important point. It shows that prioritizing is not just for the type A, super organized people. I don't even know that I'm really a type A person. I feel like I'm suffocating. I feel like I'm being put in a box or something. So having biblical priorities is just as much for the left brain creative people as much as it is for those who like everything all neat and tidy and in their boxes. So living according to priorities is for all believers. So C.J. Mahaney sums it up saying, we all have to consider, how can you effectively steward your gifts, your time, your talents, your energy, and enthusiasm for the good of others and the glory of God? So as you learn your priorities, as you review them regularly, they will become a helpful filter for you. Let's also think very practically for a moment about using your priorities as a filter as you plan your week in being a mom. Planning your week in being a mom. This is my Sunday afternoon. So you step back from your week and you think about, what do I need to get done this week to be a purposeful mom? As a shepherd of my child's hearts, what should I do? Well, you would think, what have I observed in my child? What areas needed discipline or instruction multiple times? What are their patterns? What are the possible root causes of that pattern in their heart? Compare their action to Scripture. Decide where they're simply being childish or where they're being foolish and they need instruction. Pick 1 to 2 areas you will focus on that week. just one or two. Find a verse, maybe even make up a song. You can think in advance what you will do next time your child stumbles in this area, because they will. You can think, what do I want to say to my child, and how should I discipline them? And it is way easier to respond in the spirit when you're not reacting in the moment and trying to figure out what you want to do. They're going to do this again. You might as well think about it Sunday afternoon when they're taking a nap. So you can also think up an activity that you could do that would help reinforce the truth, like red light, green light for having a toddler obey commands. Or maybe friends are coming over and you need to talk with your child in advance about being others-minded and asking questions and then listening. So it just depends on your child, but you can make a biblical plan to address their heart and then decide when you will dedicate some time to instruct them. Actually, put it on your calendar. Otherwise, those little things creep in. You need to consciously consider your child's character as you parent them. This is just part of your role as being a mom. And it's easy to get distracted by good things. You get busy running errands, picking up supplies to decorate their room, getting donut holes for class, or sitting in dance lessons. But these things can take your time and attention so you don't actually observe your child's character. You quickly address the whining or the unkindness when you're out and about. So you've entertained them, you've managed them, but you haven't trained them. And it's far better for your child to be trained than entertained. A mom needs to be purposeful to invest in priorities, but it's really easy for these priorities to get edged out of your schedule. So review your roles and responsibilities and let them be a filter for you. So third, in order to live according to your priorities, you'll need to practice the discipline of planned neglect. Planned neglect. Practice the discipline of planned neglect. When you don't prioritize, you leave yourself vulnerable to other requests. You can end up doing a lot of good things while missing God's best for you. I want you to look at how the elders of the early church prioritized in Acts 6. It says, "Now in those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food." So the widows weren't getting fed. "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It's not right that we should give up preaching of the word to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of godly repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, and we will appoint them to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the ministry of the word.'" So, wow, because the elders realized what their primary service should be at church. They realized their priorities. It was prayer and ministry of the word. So this new service opportunity came up. They got an email. "These widows are not being fed. You need to do something about it." They knew they couldn't displace their current priorities to take care of that one. And I'm sure the elders were very compassionate towards these widows. These are widows, and they wanted to help take care of them. But they knew it couldn't be their own personal goal. It wouldn't be consistent with their roles and with their gifts. And in God's providence, the role of the deacon is born right here. And if elders have to make those hard calls on priorities, so do you. It comes down to the stewardship of your time. Based on how God has built you with your talents and your spiritual gifts, with what resources he's blessed you with and your current season of life, how can you bring the most glory to God? You can do more good if you dedicate your time to areas where you are truly gifted and talented than by spreading your time to areas where you are not. It is just a question of how you can make the best investment with those talents you were entrusted with. And there's so many opportunities, way more than we can possibly fulfill. There are more ministry requests and girls' night out than are healthy for you to participate in. There will be things you have to say no to. Not because you have a conflict on your calendar, but because you have a conflict in your priorities. It's okay to say no to things. When you say no due to priorities, you are choosing things that aren't best for you with your strengths and in your season. When you practice this planned neglect, you're determining in advance that you will likely say no to these types of things because you want to be free to say yes to the things that will be best for you. And plan neglect items, they're going to be different for everybody. You might decide, I'm not going to attend any more of those jamboree nail parties. But somebody really gifted in evangelism might choose to go and be very effective sharing Christ with friends. Or you might say no to one church ministry to go and give your best at another ministry. Or you might decide that for my season, it is best if I decline all afternoon playdates and activities so I can have dinner on the table when my husband comes home and we have that family time together. It's wise to think through some of those things that you regularly do that would be best if you planned to neglect. Ask your husband, does he see activities that would just be best left undone? Ask your mom or your mentor mom or some friends, because others can see much more clearly into our lives sometimes than we can. And I know in getting ready for this ministry year, I asked a friend and my husband to look over my whole list of possible commitments just to help me choose the best. I knew I couldn't see it clearly. I want to do everything. That's how I'm built. But every day, every week, every semester, the requests and the opportunities are just greater than your availability. And saying no, it can really be a humble response because it acknowledges our limitations. I can't choose everything. I have to prioritize the best things. And when you're diligent, when you understand your priorities, then you're aware of what time you have available, and you can respond to those requests with discernment. So third challenge. A third challenge when you consider priorities is busy laziness. Don't get trapped by busy laziness. I don't know about you, but often my busyness is actually an expression of laziness. Because busyness is not necessarily diligence. Here's how it works. There's important things I need to do, but they're hard. So I do something easier to keep busy to avoid doing that hard thing. Yes, some of you understand this, yes. Okay, every once in a while you find a life-changing quote, one that just really grabs your heart and helps you. One of my life-changing quotes is by the Scottish preacher Alexander MacLaren, and he says, "No unwelcome task becomes any less unwelcome by putting it off until tomorrow. It's only when they are behind us and done that we begin to find there's a sweetness to be tasted afterwards." So if there be lying before you, any bit of work from which you shrink, go straight up to it and do it at once. The only way to get rid of it is to do it. That's what he sounds like. He's Scottish. That's what he sounds like. He's the VeggieTales carrot. So he's the Scottish guy. All right. So if there's something difficult you need to do, it's tempting to put it off. But being disciplined to think it through and just do it brings joy. Sometimes when a task is uncomfortable, we can think, well, that must not be God's will. And you'll even hear people pray, God, if this is your will, then clear the way for it. But God never said he would give you the path of least resistance. And God doesn't say your path will be an easy one, but he does say that he will guide you by his word, right? Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And when you face a difficult task, we should look to God's word and just get it done. Don't be a hectic sluggard. A sluggard can be busy knocking out a to-do list, but that list is filled with things of secondary importance. No matter how busy you appear, if you are neglecting those primary roles, you are being a procrastinator. I love Proverbs 28:19. It says, "He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty." And I want you to notice something about these two men in the parable. They're both busy. They're both doing something. One man tills his land, and the other follows pursuits. Neither of them is sitting around watching YouTube. The first man has prioritized his work, and he's doing what he needs to do. It's not fun, but he's fulfilling his God-given role as a provider of his household. But the second man is pursuing things too, but he is choosing to pursue things of little importance. We don't know what those things are, but in eternal eyes, his pursuits are empty. They keep him busy, but they don't profit his soul. They don't profit his body. So I want to ask you this morning, what are those empty pursuits for a mom at Faith Bible Church? What are the things that keep you busy, but they don't profit your soul? They don't help you love your husband or train your kids. They don't really benefit your household or your ministry. What are these empty pursuits? What are your empty pursuits? They may not be sinful things or even bad things. They're simply empty. They're of little profit. They take up your time. And they keep you from doing the things that you should be doing. Busyness doesn't mean you're diligent. Busyness doesn't mean you're faithful. Busyness doesn't mean you're fruitful. That's C.J. Mahaney again. We measure ourselves by our busyness, and we can think that busy is better. We frantically pursue too many things, and it just displaces what matters most. So much of busyness is just not understanding our limitations. God doesn't call us to do everything. He just calls us to do a few things, but to do those things well. So this week, will you stop and consciously consider your priorities? Fill in that roles, responsibilities, and goals sheet, and can I ask you to commit to reviewing that with your husband, with your mentor mom? Let them speak into your life. Seek to have a soft heart and think about their input. Strive to live by those priorities and find a way to regularly review them. Be purposeful to look at your roles and your responsibilities as you plan your week and choose to invest the gifts and talents God has given you for eternal benefit and reward. This is a practical pathway to living with purpose as a mom. While we're called to be purposeful in how we live, we know that our joy doesn't come from flawlessly executing our goals. We can strive to be purposeful, but it's not going to fulfill us. Our joy each day comes from the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because it was his perfect death to pay for our sin that saves us, and that fills us with the thankful joy. But then it's that joy that motivates us to spend our lives glorifying him by living with purpose.